There's more talk today about the beginning of the end of Australia's auto industry after Ford's stunning decision yesterday to quit its manufacturing operations here. With the chief of Ford Australia declaring that the business case for car making in Australia doesn't stack up, what hope is there for the other two major car makers, Holden and Toyota? Holden's managing director, Mike Devereaux, told ABC Melbourne's John Fain that Holden's newly launched VF model won't be the company's last.
Our plan is to launch this car, run it for an unspecified number of years, and then replace it with another Commodore sometime in the second half of the decade. So that's our plan.
That's a plan, but
yes, it
can
is.
You guarantee that?
There are no guarantees in life on anything, John. We certainly want to continue to be able to do things, both the engineering and design of cars in this country and also to make cars in this country.
That's Holden's managing director, Mike Devereaux. Well, one global strategy expert says Australia will struggle to sustain an auto manufacturing industry for the long term. Michael Moll is Professor of Strategic Management at Warwick Business School in the UK. He says Ford's management overestimated its ability to turn things around in Australia. I spoke to him earlier.
I think from a business point of view, it seems to be a sensible decision, and one wonders why it has taken this long for that decision to be reached, in a sense. I think the volumes of production in Australia for Ford didn't ever look like they were sustainable.
Is it inevitable then that other car makers in Australia, Holden and Toyota, will follow suit?
I do think so, yes. I mean, perhaps not in the sort of short term, but in the medium to long term, it's going to be very difficult for them to stay in Australia and manufacture cars there. I think the supply infrastructure is going to be hit quite hard, I guess, by the departure of Ford. In the short term, people might go out and buy Toyota and Holden cars simply to show that they're buying Australian-made cars, if you like. But longer term, I think that effect will wear off as well, and it's going to be quite difficult. The cost levels are just too high, and all the other countries that you could possibly import cars from are increasing their skill levels at quite a pace.
And yet the head of Holden is very confident that it won't suffer the same fate as Ford. Is that misplaced confidence?
Well, I think Ford would have said the same thing a few years ago, wouldn't they? So I think they truly believed that they could turn things around and turn it into a profitable operation again, and clearly that hasn't happened. And Holden may do well for a number of years, I guess, but longer term, I can't quite see it. I think we're seeing the emergence of new producer countries such as India, Brazil, obviously China is already very well established as a car manufacturer, and I think those places are going to have significant competitive advantages over Australia.
So how can Australia have a viable car-making industry given labour costs, currency issues and the scale of the domestic market?
I'm not sure that is really possible, to be honest. I think in the medium to long term, I think the car industry will probably disappear from Australia.
What about a feasible export market?
Well, I think that is also partly driven by the geography, isn't it? And I mean, there are large markets such as China and India. I just couldn't quite see that you could produce the models that they would be looking for. In general, they're looking for either the very high-end luxury cars, the very sort of super-rich people, or they're looking for much cheaper and more basic models. And those aren't the cars that are being produced in Australia.
So are Australian-based car makers erroneously pitching to a shrinking market?
I think that's, in some ways, is what it boils down to, yes. And as I said, you know, in the short to medium term, I think that's a model that can be maintained, particularly if the government continues to be willing to subsidise the car industry. In the longer term, I'm not sure that will work.
Ford Australia says it's going to maintain a research and development, a product development and design team here in Australia. Is that a meaningful restructuring of Ford Australia's operations?
I think there's a sort of short to medium term view you can take there and say, you know, that's going to work reasonably well, and I'm sure they can maintain a level of employment over the next maybe 5 or 10 years. It's difficult to see how you can do engineering and development very well without actually producing anything in any nearby location. And I think we've seen in other industries that's not a model that works.
So you think it would be difficult for Australia to value add to production lines overseas?
There'll be niche parts of the design that I think that where that isn't really a problem, but I think with the sort of overall design of cars, I think, you know, you need to, an ability to produce them as well, to assemble them on the same location. Yeah.
What might be the broader impact on manufacturing in Australia? Some analysts and indeed some political leaders say you can't have a manufacturing sector without car manufacturing.
I don't necessarily believe that's the case, but clearly this will have a negative impact on the supplier infrastructure as it exists in Australia. And there are, of course, a lot of suppliers that don't exclusively supply to the car industry. They supply to lots of other industries as well. But the car industry is going to be a big buyer for them, and it's also going to be a leading buyer. It will set the standards for other industries. And that, I think, is a major challenge for these supplier firms. How do you remain competitive when you no longer have that very technologically and also, let's say, business-wise advanced car manufacturing industry that's one of your leading buyers?
On the issue of government subsidies for car makers, there's some criticism that these schemes, that subsidies are, it's just throwing good money after bad, that you're throwing money into a black hole. But it's the case that few car makers exist around the world without government subsidies.
In some way or the other, all of them benefit, I think, from subsidies, except perhaps for some of the very niche high-end car manufacturers. But all the major manufacturers, they do get subsidies one way or the other. I think from a government perspective, the key thing is, you know, to award subsidies for the development of new models and for bringing in new models. What you don't want to do is subsidize ongoing production too much. I don't think that's particularly beneficial. But if you subsidize development of new models and you can guarantee that they're going to produce these new models in your country for a number of years, then that's a more sensible decision, I think.
Professor Michael Moll from the Warwick Business School in the UK.